All right, good morning again. I'm back. You excited that I'm back? Not this side. This side's like, I don't know. Well, today, if you haven't noticed, things are a bit different, yeah? Do you know what's missing? Volunteers. Volunteers are missing. Let me get logged into my computer here. Usually recognizes my face, but my face is not recognizable. Our volunteers today. Today, we're doing something called No Serve Sunday, and so we reached out and let all of our moment makers, hey, you don't need to serve today. And I think for some people, they push back on that. But like, no, I can still serve. No, we don't want you to serve. We actually call our volunteers moment makers, and we love our moment makers. And we desire to do something today. I'll get into that. If it's your first time, here's what I'll say to you. This isn't the typical Sunday service. It'll be amazing, and it is amazing, but we typically have so many volunteers, people to welcome you besides myself and greet you and serve you and people in kids ministry and people doing lyrics and all the stuff and full band. We have all that stuff. And so if it's your first time today, I would encourage you to come back next week to get the full Kairos experience with all of our wonderful moment makers. I'll also say this, as I share today, if it's your first time, second time, or still trying to figure out, like maybe it's your third or fourth time, and just trying to figure out if this is your church home, just know that I am speaking today to those who have been a part of Kairos and call Kairos Church their family and their church home. So I'm gonna be kind of addressing the need for moment makers. I don't think I have to talk about it much. If you've been to Kairos, if you've experienced our culture, you noticed and felt the absence of our volunteers, of our moment makers, from the moment you parked, to the moment you were greeted, to when you went to get your coffee and donuts, and then you went to check your kids in, and that didn't happen, right? And you'll see it, and it's a huge part of what we do each and every week. And if you came last week, for kids ministry especially, we didn't plan last week, but we actually had to shut down multiple classes due to the fact that we didn't have moment makers. Now, we've had today planned for a little bit over a month now, and we began to see kind of a diminishing amount of moment makers and a lack of replenishing those moment makers. And so today, as we dive into our skirmishes series, really the skirmish is an internal church skirmish, dealing with serving and also burnout. And I'll let you know, this isn't new to churches. Churches experience this all across our state, our country, and they've been experiencing this since the early church. Before I get into that, I want to mention, if you didn't know already, if you do have kids in here and you would like to have them have a clipboard or a little coloring pad, they're at the back and you can grab those if you need to keep them busy. So let's look at one of the early church skirmishes. It takes place in Acts chapter 6. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. It says this: "In those days, as the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a skirmish." It says complaint. I'm going to say skirmish, right? "By the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews, that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution." So due to an increase in numbers, we saw that, they're multiplying. Some are feeling overlooked, they're feeling disconnected, they're feeling neglected. Sound familiar? "Then the 12 summoned the whole company of disciples and said, 'It would not be right for us to give up preaching about God to handle financial matters.'" To really what they're saying is like, you know, we have been gifted and called to do this. And if we stop doing that, to do this, it'll keep us from operating in our gifting and our calling. Say, "Therefore, brothers, let's select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, who can be appointed to this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the preaching ministry." The proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and 6 other men. And so 7 men were chosen to step in and to serve in their gifting and calling, so that the 12 can keep doing what they were called to do, in order for all of them to continue to meet the growing needs of people that were being reached with the gospel. And it says in verse 7, "So the preaching about God flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly." And so as more people stepped into serving, the preaching of the gospel flourished, and many people came to know Jesus. And in the midst of that, guess what happened? They were able to alleviate the issues of people being or feeling overlooked, neglected, or even burnt out. And so our desire, my desire today, is to show you just how much our moment makers matter to our culture and our impact as a church. And that's something that happens, yes, on Sunday, but it also happens throughout the week. So I'm going to share some numbers with you. Just kind of show you the scope, give you an understanding of what we're dealing with. From the last 6 months, I pulled an average of our total attendance, and I looked at our serving, and I looked at our kids, and I looked at all these things in order to get to these numbers. And so over the last 6 months, our average total attendance with kids and adults is 330 people. Between the two services, we have 300. On average, between the two services, we have 60 kids. And so that means we're averaging about 270 adults. Now that's adults and teens. Okay, so we have that number, 270. And I've taken out of that number staff and some staff family just because we're always here. But about 270. And so out of 270 attending, here's what we got. We have 70 adult moment makers and 20 teen moment makers. So 90 people out of 270. And here's what I want to say real quickly. If you are a moment maker who has served in any capacity over the last 3 to 6 months, I want to say thank you very much. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for serving week in and week out. Thank you for serving multiple services. Thank you for serving in multiple ministries. I appreciate you, and I just want to thank you right now. So I'm going to give it up for my moment makers. Now, going back to the numbers. 90 out of 270. So what that means is 30% of our church is serving, and 70% is not. And on any given Sunday, we need anywhere from 48 to 50 moment makers per service, serving in cafe, in prayer, on our protect team, in VIP, in greeting, in merch, in our presentation area, on worship, doing announcements, serving Echo Coffee, and then, of course, in kids. And so we have all these ministries that are working and operating, and people, volunteers, moment makers, who are serving 48 to 50 every service. Now, as I pulled averages and I looked over the last few months, here's what I got to. We have 61 moment makers serving between two services. We need 50 for both, but I have 61 serving in both. And what I want you to understand is that number, it includes some who serve both services and serve in multiple ministries. And you might see some of them going from there to here to there, and you'll see them just running around, right? Because they're helping meet needs that aren't being met. And so what that means, if we have 48 to 50, let's just say we need 100 people to serve, and we only have 60, every single Sunday, we are scrambling to fill 30 to 40 positions because we are short on those moment makers. It's a big need. And we've been seeing that and experiencing that. Now let's go beyond Sunday, because of the number of moment makers that I gave you, some of them actually don't serve on Sunday and serve in other areas. Youth ministry is one of them. We have an amazing youth ministry team, and I love our youth ministry team. But right now, I have 9 moment makers. Ideally, I need 16. In order to do what we do, because we break into groups and we break it down by gender and age and into their grade, and in order to adequately be able to enter into groups with them, we need at least 2 adults per group. So that means I need 16 moment makers. So I'm short 7 adults every single Wednesday. And the ones who serve, there are some who serve on Sundays and serve in other capacities, and they also have jobs, and they also have their own problems, and sometimes they can't make it. And so there'll be weeks where I only have 3, 4, or 5 adults to help serve the 40 to 50 teens that we see every single Wednesday. I don't know if you know this or not, but we have a ministry here that we support called Echo Ministry. I'm not talking about coffee. I'm talking about the shop that's upstairs that serves families who have adoptive or foster placements. And right now, Dixie Canuso heads up that ministry. That ministry meets 3 times a month. It's the first Saturday, the second Thursday, and the third Wednesday. And right now, they have 8 volunteers. And let me just tell you, 4 of the 8 volunteers are Dixie and her family. 2 of the 8 volunteers are my 2 teen girls. And they have a huge need. Ideally, on the Wednesday and the Thursday, they need at least 4 volunteers there. And then on Saturdays, they need at least 5 to 6 people because they see a lot of families. I don't know what the, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know it's anywhere from 60 to 80 kids that they're serving every single month. And if you've ever been up there, if you've ever been a part of it, it can be a little bit chaotic. And we want to make sure that we're serving and helping these people who need to come and be served in that way. And then on top of just coming and serving while they're open, Dixie also told me that they need help throughout the weeks, kind of just organizing things, restocking things, and sometimes that's hard to do with a limited amount of volunteers. We have an amazing prayer team. I didn't have this plan. If you've ever been reached out to because you filled out a prayer and praise card, will you just raise your hand? Man, I love that. Our prayer team is amazing. I love them so much. Let me share. This is another number, and I can't get into this. I really, really want to. I pulled averages on the amount of prayers that we have each week. And we get 30 prayers a week, 30 prayers. You want to know what percentage that is of our adults? 12%. I'd love to go on a rant about that right now. That's not what I'm talking about today, but 12%. And here's the deal for me, that hurts my heart for you. We want to pray for you. We want to come alongside you. We want to support you and encourage you. But for whatever reason, you won't let us. Anyway, so on this team, 12% of people are filling out prayer and praise card. And oddly enough, I was looking at the numbers and I took out some staff members. We have 12 people on that team. And some do card inputting and some do reach outs. But what would happen? Like if we doubled that number, 12% to 24%, or let's say, man, we got to 48% of our church was actually filling out a prayer praise card. Do you think 12 volunteers would be able to manage that? To be able to reach out and support? No, I mean, our numbers on the prayer team would need to double as well. Each week, we have a cleaning team. This is a volunteer team. And they come after events, after team meetings, after groups, after Sunday services, after youth night. They come behind us and clean us up. And let me just tell you something. We are messy, messy people. We are. I've been in here and I'm just like, man, I look at all of this. And they come and they fix the seats because they've been messed up. They reset the seat backs, oftentimes finding trash in said seat backs. They pick up coffee cups. They clean up coffee spills. They take out the trash. They refill the toilet paper and the paper towels. They mop and they vacuum, among other things. And on that volunteer team, we have 2 people. And we need at least 4 to 6. Then we have our crews and group leaders. These are, they meet during the week. We've been talking about crews, the importance of that. And as I was thinking about this, if we have 270 adults, if we wanted to actually meet the needs of 270 adults, let's say all of you wanted to be in a group, we would need 33 groups at 8 people per group, 33. You wanna know how many we have? 9. You wanna know how many staff are leading? 6. You get the picture. We have this need. And here's what I fully believe. Healthy and continued church growth is contingent upon healthy and committed volunteers. Those who are stepping in to serve, but also have the opportunity to continue to be filled up and not burn out. And what that means is that if they're gonna be people that are serving, we don't want them over-serving and getting burned out because they won't get fed anymore. That means we need the right amount of people in order to meet the needs of the church. And here's why I say that. Without healthy and committed volunteers, many people, just like the early church, are left feeling overlooked, neglected, and disconnected. And our volunteers who are over-serving to help meet the needs, they're left feeling burnt out. Today, our staff is doing everything. There are 6 of us, not including myself, 6 of us. You know this. we cannot adequately meet and serve all your needs. We can't do it. We just can't. And this was a staged example for today, but we did it because we feel and we've heard that others in the church are feeling what the early church was feeling: overlooked, feeling disconnected. Our moment makers who are serving twice a Sunday in multiple ministries every Sunday, as well as during the week, they are feeling burnout. They're exhausted. They aren't getting moments to sit and to worship, to come in here and be encouraged by the word. I want to share an analogy with you. And it comes from Ephesians 5. And if you're familiar with Ephesians 5, it's all about husbands submitting to wives. And I'm not going to be talking about that today. But I want you to see the analogy that Paul gives us in his letter to the Ephesians. I'm going to read to you verses 25 through 32. I believe 24 through 33 are up there. So verse 25, it says, "As husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we are members of his body." Verse 32 says, "This mystery is profound," but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And so Paul, he talks about this covenant relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, which is often referred to as his bride. The church is his bride. And so what that means is there's this marriage covenant. And within this relational marriage covenant, it is one that is meant to be of love, of sacrifice, and of service. And he calls us to that same love, to that same sacrifice, to that same service. Yes, in our marriage covenant that we have with our spouse, but also in our relational covenant with him and the church. And so if we love Christ, then that means we will love and sacrifice and serve for his bride, the church. That's his bride. And if you're married, and you can just think about how much you love your bride, and what you want and desire for your bride, take that and multiply it by 1,000, and that's what Jesus wants for his bride, and even more. And we're called to that. Now, to my analogy, what I want to talk about. You ever heard the phrase, or said the phrase, happy wife, happy? Okay, so you've heard it, right? Happy wife, happy life. And we all get that. Like, immediately we understand. We've experienced that when our wife is not happy, yeah? Our kids experience that, right? And so we understand that. And so I look at this and I go, here's what Paul is saying. Happy and healthy bride of Christ, the church, equals a happy and healthy life in Christ. Happy church, happy Christian, right? That's all of us. That's everyone. Now, I want you to track along with me. It's a bit of a loose analogy, as all, you know, human analogies are, and trying to capture, you know, what God is saying. How many of you have chore charts at home? You have kids, you have chore charts. Robbie, go ahead and put my chore chart up there. We have a chore chart. It's been changed and edited quite a bit. And you can see our kids' names and stuff like that. And if you don't know, we're a family of 11. And so in our chore chart, you can see, like, there are different days, there are different things, and everyone pitches in to do something, to help in some way. Now, often what happens is our older kids end up doing more than our younger kids. And they end up, honestly, cleaning up after our younger, and they love it. It's like their favorite thing to do. No, they do it begrudgingly, and I didn't make this mess, and like, but they get over that and they do it. And if someone is sick, someone has to pick up the slack. When someone goes away to like summer camp or is going to hang out at grandma's, somebody still has to do those chores, and so guess what? Our other kids fill in the gap where our kids aren't there. And then, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, what if no one did any of that? What if they're like, nope, we're not doing it? And if none of my kids did any of that, often, you want to know who's left to do it all? My wife. I help, but I'm going to just let you know, like, it's my wife. So just a family of 11. Just imagine the task of doing laundry for 11 people. If you've ever done laundry for four people, imagine 11 as a full-time job, right? Just doing laundry is a full-time job. And so, listen, if mom, if the wife, if the bride is left to do all the cleaning, all the cooking, all the laundry, all the bills, taking care of the kids, disciplining and correcting the kids, entering them into prayer and discipleship, and working a job, you know what's going to happen? She becomes stressed out, tired, burned out, irritable, lacking or losing joy, and robotically moving through her days feeling alone, overwhelmed, overlooked, unloved, and unappreciated. But when everyone in the family does their part and goes above and beyond to serve each other, to serve mom, guess what happens? Mom gets a moment of rest, of rejuvenation, moments of solitude, and time to feed herself. And yes, of course, I do mean actually feed herself without a kid being there, but you also know she gets moments to feed herself emotionally and spiritually by spending time with God. And so really quickly, I'll say, let that be a lesson to husbands and children. You better be helping your mom out. Happy wife, happy life. Okay, so let's apply this principle of chores to the church, the bride of Christ. Because many of the things that I listed, guess what? We do, right? There's cleaning, there's meals and feeding, spiritual and physical. We give y'all donuts, right? Discipleship. There's works of ministry, outreach, evangelism, prayer, counseling. There's financial budgets and stewardship. There's correction and discipline. There's meeting the needs of God's children. There's protecting God's children. There is providing the adequate space for people in our family to be safe. And in all of that, it requires everyone who calls this family, who calls this home, to do their part. Now, the church doesn't have a chore chart. Maybe we should get one. We should put your names on it and see what happens. We don't have a chore chart. But we do have moment makers, and we have ministry teams, and we have positions that are scheduled every week. And some weeks, people are sick. Some weeks, there's something going on. They can't be here. They're dealing with issues, and people are unavailable. And when we're operating at 60, when we're supposed to be at 100, and then we lose another 10 or 15, man, we're limping along and barely surviving. And when everyone helps, when everyone pitches in, when everyone pulls their weight, it gives every attender, every moment maker, and staff moments of rest, rejuvenation, and time with God to be fed and be filled up spiritually so that they can continue to serve out of an overflow and not out of depletion. It's so important. And here's the thing, just as my older, mature, I'll say mature, children, serve my younger ones, and the ones who are healthy step in to serve the ones who are sick. In the church, we need the more mature Christians to serve those who are new to their faith, who are younger Christians. We also need people who are willing to step in when others are sick or away for a time in order to help, you know, them fill themselves up emotionally and spiritually. Now, I was sharing this analogy about the bride of Christ, and I need to be very clear about something. The church is not your bride. It's not my bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And when we serve, we don't serve a building. We don't serve a pastor. We don't serve a ministry leader or a staff member. We don't serve a church name or a denomination. We serve people. His people. And his people are the church. His people are the bride of Christ, and when we serve his people, we ultimately are serving him. And as we make time to engage and serve people, guess what happens? We make moments for them to be encountered by Jesus and for them to be saved by Jesus. And that's why we do everything that we do. Our volunteers make moments happen when, if they weren't serving, they wouldn't happen otherwise. There's moments to pray. There's moments to laugh. There's moments to cry. There's moments to praise. There's moments to worship. There's moments to share a scripture. There's moments to listen and support, to welcome and encourage. There's moments to challenge and to be challenged. There are moments that we get to witness life change take place when someone gives their life to Jesus, or life change that takes place when someone publicly declares their faith through the act of baptism. You see, when we get the right people to step up. We are, as Acts 6:3 puts it, appointing them to their unique task within the church so that the preaching of the gospel will flourish and God's kingdom will multiply. It takes all of us. And so here's my challenge. If you have been attending for a month or more, you're ready to call Kairos Church your home, your family, but you're not serving, sign up to attend our Moment Maker training. We're doing two trainings next Sunday. We're doing one during the 9 and one during the 11. You can sign up by scanning the QR code. We have clipboards for both services that you can sign up at the end of service, or you can fill out one of our next step cards. Here's the other thing I'll say. If you've been through Moment Maker training but aren't actively serving, for whatever reason, you had to step away for a season and maybe now you're ready, man, will you just reconnect with your ministry leader and say, hey, I'm ready to serve again. Where can I be of assistance? If you went through Moment Maker training but then never took a step to begin serving, I would just encourage you today on a prayer praise card, on a next step card, just write, start serving in the ministry that you want to serve in. Now that's it on that. And as I move to wrapping up today, I want to give you just a moment of transparency and honesty from me. Because here's the reality. The success and health of any organization rises and falls with its leadership. So today, what I want to do is I want to apologize to my staff, to Moment Makers, and to all of you. I think for just about over a year now, I feel that I've failed on properly leading, ministering, supporting, and encouraging you all. Let me finish. When I read through Acts 6:1, and I see that people are being overlooked, I personally feel that and sense that on multiple levels from so many people. And I have some valid excuses for why I may be failing or not leading at the full capacity. What I thought was going to be maybe a 3-month stint in leading youth ministry has become a year. And I love youth ministry, but I honestly don't have the capacity to give to them. And I thought we would have people in that role, three actually. It just didn't work out and I'm still there. At the same time, the dynamic of my family and my capacity has changed. We just had a baby, right? Number 9. And so everything has just been, it's been crazy. And so I just honestly, if you feel overlooked, if you feel disconnected, I want to apologize because I don't feel like I've lived up to or done a job of leading and shepherding you. Now, with that said, I cannot nor should I be expected to meet the needs of 270 adults by myself. Me and my staff should not be expected to meet the needs of 270 adults by ourselves. But I know this, as a pastor, as a shepherd, I'm called to make sure, as Ephesians 4 puts it, to be equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we reach full unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son. That's my call. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, God called me to that. It's a burden that I have to carry, and it's a heavy one, and I know I can't do it myself. And so I'm realizing and I'm recognizing that, but at the same time, man, something was brought to my attention recently, and I cannot believe, it is such a huge failure, and I'm just how did I overlook this? And it's not a year old. It's a 4-year-old failure on my part, and I'm working diligently to fix this absolute oversight. So here's what happened. After COVID, We scrambled to stay afloat as a young church. We had just planted, we were about 2 years old, and COVID happens, right? And as COVID happens, we ended up landing in a new building. We lost some staff members, and we lost church members. We successfully went from 300 to 30 people. It was awesome, all right? It was exciting times. And we were introduced to new organizational issues, and essentially, we had to relaunch the church. And we've been on that journey for 3 years now. And in the midst of COVID and all the changes, guess what I lost sight of? Our discipleship classes. We had them starting, they were going great, and we never brought them back. And that's where I say, that's a failure on my part, because I feel like this lack of discipleship plays a majority role in the low percentage of moment makers and the overall commitment to serving, as well as a role in our current moment makers feeling disconnected or burnt out. And so I want to apologize for that. This was my year, I said at the beginning of the year, my year of inspection and intention. And as I began to inspect, I figured some things out and now we're working to make them better. And so we're currently restructuring groups because they've struggled since COVID to get back up off their feet. The model that we had just hasn't worked. And so we're changing all those in the fall. We're restructuring and we're changing groups into crews and classes. On top of that, we'll be starting what I'm calling first moment, next moments, leader moments. This will be a 12 to 16 week discipleship class that we offer in order to help you grow in your personal faith and to help you identify, man, where God has uniquely called and gifted you to serve. I'm also planning on offering a new believers class. We had one and we never brought it back. And I know there are many who come to know Christ and just need to know what it means to follow him, and we haven't been equipping them to do that. We're also going to be making changes to our volunteer onboarding class that we call Moment Maker Training. Here's what I'll say. It is our desire for you to flourish and grow in your faith and to deepen your relationship with Christ, to find friendship and relationship here with people who love you and care for you and support you. We want to come alongside you and see God work and move in your life. We absolutely don't want you feeling overlooked. We don't want you feeling neglected. We don't want you feeling disconnected or burnt out. But I need you to know, just as you depend on us, we are also extremely dependent upon you to help us continue to reach people with the gospel. Today, as I close out, here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask my staff to come up front, just right up here. And as they do, I want you to realize something about our staff. Maybe you know, maybe you don't. I said we have 6 staff, some volunteer. We only have 2 full-time staff. That's myself and Robbie. Kim, our amazing kids ministry director, is part-time and should be full-time. Absolutely, because of all the things that she does. But the rest, man, every single one of them, they do what they've been gifted and called to do, but then they go above and beyond to do so much more. And I need you to know, just like you, they're dealing with stuff. Family issues, health issues, financial issues. They have stressful days and they have days of anxiety. They are doing their very best to lead in their life spiritually, to lead their home spiritually, and to lead their ministries. And it's overwhelming, and it's hard, especially when they don't have the amount of people that they need behind them to help their ministry grow and thrive, or the people to come alongside them and support them and encourage them and love them and care for them. And so what I want to do today is I just want to take a moment to pray over our staff. And then after that, I want to pray for our church. So I'll just encourage you right now to join me, bow your heads, close your eyes, reach a hand out, and I just want to pray over each of our staff. God, right now, I thank you for these amazing people. God, for whatever reason, you drew them here, you sent them here, you called them in a specific season, in a specific moment to come and serve and to give and to love and to care and support and to encourage. God, you have done amazing and wonderful things in their lives and in their relationships and in their marriages and in their families, God, and we are just so thankful. God, but right now I know each one of them is dealing with something, whether it be health issues, financial issues, relational issues. God, they have stress, they have worry, they have anxiety, they have fear, just like the rest of us, God. And so, God, I pray in this moment that your spirit would lift them up. God, I pray right now that they would feel loved and encouraged and supported by this church family. God, I pray that from this, people would begin to come alongside them and support them and encourage them and help them and see their needs and help meet their needs when they're failing, when they're faltering, when they're not emotionally or spiritually healthy, God, that you would put people in their lives to help stand in the gap. God, I thank you for each and every individual one of them. I thank you for their families. I thank you for how much they love and champion Kairos Church, your bride. They are amazing and wonderful people, and I just can't be thankful enough for each and every one of them. God, right now I want to pray for all of our moment makers. The amount of service and sacrifice and love and investment, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for those amazing people who serve week in and week out and do it with a smile on their face, and they love to see the joy that they bring to someone's face as they are serving. God, they are your hands and feet, and they are your church, your people. So we are thankful. God, I pray for today for those who are here who maybe for one reason or another haven't stepped into serving. God, I pray that your spirit would move and that you would move them to take a step, any step in that direction, just to see where you're leading. God, if there are fears, if there are worries, if there are doubts, if there are questions, that they would begin to ask them of the ministry leaders that they see here today. I pray that you would move them to action, to what we call get up and go, to begin to equip others so that we can engage the not yet. God, I pray for each one of our ministry teams. I pray for them to be fruitful. I pray for them, just to be bountiful. I pray for people not to feel overlooked or neglected or disconnected. I want them to flourish. I want them to grow. I want them to thrive. I want relationships to be rekindled and reignited. I want to see families serving and worshiping and praying together. I pray for our youth ministry. I pray for the future of it. I pray for the leader that you have for it. We have an amazing bunch of teenagers. They are awesome, and I love them so much. But they need someone to lead them. I pray for our crews, a way for us to get connected, to feel supported, to be encouraged. I pray for people to step up and lead, facilitate a crew. God, overall, I pray for what we're getting ready to enter into as we step back into discipleship. New believers class, really helping people grow and thrive to do the work of ministry. God, empower us, encourage us, strengthen us. We want to be a church that loves you and serves you and sacrifices for you and your bride, the church. Thank you for showing us today. Thank you for revealing this today, God, and we pray that from here, we will continue to see your work be done in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you guys stand and worship with us?